We're not here because of us. We're here to proclaim this morning that it's all about you. It is, Father. It's your salvation that you gave us. Now it's our salvation. It's your love that you give us continually, and now it's our love that we have and we own it. We receive it and it's ours, and we give it to other people around the world. Whether it's here in Wallace or in Sierra Leone, Father, where there's so much of my life involved in the churches there and in the churches in Mumbawa. But Master, today I pray for Wallace. I pray, God, for an awakening in this city that goes beyond the expectations of every believer in this city. Lord, I pray for an explosion of reality that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the only way to the Father. When in such many ways around the world today, we're told that there's other ways to God and other gods that have other names, and they say it's the same as God. No, it's not. We proclaim today there's only one God and there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, the righteous. Everything else is fake. Everything else is a lie. There's no other truth in it. And there should be no syncretism in the church anywhere. Jesus Christ should be glorified in all that we do and all that we are and all that we go after. It is for His glory we pray. Amen. I have an introduction to my sermon, then I'm going to preach my sermon. Is that okay? I was praying yesterday in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord showed me something. And I want to show it to you. I love revivals, but I don't preach many of them. I normally come in after the revival's over. That's just the way they call me. They say, Dave, will you come in now and help put it all together? So that's what I'm going to do for you this morning. I know it's not over for several more days, and you haven't seen nothing yet. Even when this old boy leaves, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's all coming, but it's already here too. Do you know the Holy Spirit is here with you this morning? Are you listening to me? Do you know the Holy Ghost is here today? I like that word. Today, right now, He's right here. I want to teach you three things real quick about what revivals are all about. Revivals are not a thing where you go and sit in church and listen to a man or a woman preach. Revivals are that moment when God touches your life and you fall on your knees and you repent for your sin. That's where it begins. Are you listening to me? Revival begins when you're on your knees before the Lord and you confess your sin. It doesn't start till you personally say, God, I need revival in my personal life. And when you say that and you mean it, that's when revival comes knocking on your door. That's when you're flooded with the holiness of God. That's when the presence of the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, reminding of you of those things that you need to repent for. This is something between you and God. It's not something between you and those around you. It's you and God. You have a come to Jesus meeting, and He speaks to your heart, and the Holy Spirit says, this is the thing you need to deal with. And you begin to deal with it. And sometimes it's no fun. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it makes you change everything about you. But isn't that what revival is all about? Change me, Lord. Make me a better person. Make me somebody new. Help me to realize that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Isn't that what revival is all about? Galatians 2:20? Sure it is. I get on my knees. I confess my sin. And God says, now, are you finished? I've got them all here in my hand. And then Father takes him and He tosses him as far as the east is from the west. And now you're on your knees. Listen to me. You've emptied yourself out like a veil of water. All the water's been poured on the floor. There's nothing else to come out. You've repented for everything you can understand. You've repented for all that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about. You say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change a heart, change a mind, change a course of life. I'm never going to do those things again. God, help me walk in victory over those things in my life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Have you been there before? Are you there now? If you're not, you need to be there. If you're going to have revival, it comes to you first. Then it spreads across the church. Then it spreads across the city. Then it spreads across the county. Then it spreads across the East Coast. Then it goes to the West Coast. Why? Because if it doesn't happen in you, it's not going to happen in your city. Now you want it to happen in your city, but first you've got to let it happen in you. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do His mighty work, halubohata, inside you, and He rips all that stuff out. It's like pulling a molar. How many of you have had to have your teeth pulled? Say amen. I got a set too. And I'm going to tell you something, it's no fun as they're pulling and pulling and pulling. Sometimes that's the way it is with our sin, those personal sins, those sins that are way down inside. Nobody knows about these sins. But they're there. That little thing you do here and there and yon. God knows all about that. You haven't gotten away with a thing. He watched you do it. He heard what you were thinking while you were in the middle of it. He said, I know you and I know what you're doing, but I love you greater than your sin. Repent and be received into my kingdom. Those are the things that we have to do. Get on our knees. No, I'm tired already and I just got started. Get on my knees. And I'm not getting up till I hear from God. I'm not getting up till I'm clean. I've said it out of my mouth. I've professed those sins before the Lord. My confession is pure. It's clean. And the next step is this. Whew. I stand up in Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. I stand up in the anointed one. I am not that person anymore. Do you get this? This is vital to revival. I am not that person anymore. The devil's going to come and throw your sins back at you. He's going to try to make you think like you cannot stand up in the anointing. You can't do it. You tell him you're a liar, devil. And I'm telling you right now, I have been delivered and set free. I can stand up in the things of God, the truth of the word, and proclaim this word from one end of the earth to the other. And there's not a thing you can do about it. Are you listening to me? We worry too much about the devil when he's been defeated in our lives. When you confess your sins, Jesus raises you up in His anointing. Glory to God. He raises you up in Christ, which means in Christo, which means the anointed one. And there you are. You're standing in the beauty of God's holiness. Glory to God. And that takes something. That turns a button inside your life. Your spirit rises up and says, what can I do now for God? Where can I go now? How can I touch the city for Jesus? It's not can I, do I want to. No, you can't wait. You're salivating for an opportunity to tell someone somewhere that God loves them. God cares for them. God wants His best for them. God is moving in the city. Because He's moving in you. And nothing can come nigh your dwelling. The devil knocks on your door, you knock on his. Bang! He said, go on about yourself. He starts telling you those lies and you look at him and say, you know, I'm not interested in your lies. Somebody comes down the street and you're talking to them. They tell you, oh, I remember that church. You don't know this church. You think you know this church? Until you've been in this church and you've been around this man of God and his family. You don't know anything yet. What you've been in the service with him. What you felt the anointing and the worship. What you've been under his leading of the Holy Spirit. Once you've been around these people, you're never the same again. That's the testimony of First Assembly of God. And that's the testimony that should be there. When you're standing up, my dear brother, in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, something happens to you. You're not the same again. You're not the same. You never will be the same. You may look at me and say, he's all fired up. I've been fired up for 10 weeks like this. I can't get unfired. I don't want to be unfired. I like to burn for Jesus. Listen, I'm an old man too, and I'm loving every minute of it. When you're down there, you leave the mess down there. When you get up, you're in the anointing and you see things differently. You're looking differently. You're not wondering whether God's going to move. You're just watching when He does move. You're seeing Him move wherever you go. Your eye of faith is watching God do wonderful things. That's what's happening. And that's what should be happening. Once you dump your truck, once you get rid of your sin, once you let it all go, don't hang on to it anymore. Hey guys, get rid of those email addresses you're not supposed to have any longer. Toss them. Are you listening to me? Ladies, toss your email addresses. Also, get rid of that trash out of your life and find something that's glorious and wonderful. It's called the Word of God, and live it and read it. Eat it every day and it will change your life. If you want revival, you want a life-changing revival, not just an exercise you go through because it's something to do or it's something to have the annual revival. Nope. I'm here today in Jesus' name to stop that in Wallace. I'm here today to pull back the reins on the ponies. I'm here today to put my heels in and say, no, there's no more revivals. There was one great revival, and Jesus came on the scene, and the power of the Holy Ghost swept across the church, and then it swept across the parking lot, and then it swept across all downtown Wallace, and they've never been the same since. But you gotta want it more than I do. You gotta want it. You gotta have a passion for it. You gotta have a desire, a flaw frothing at the mouth to do the things of God. When you get up in the morning, you say, I can't wait to be God's hand today. I can't wait to be God's voice today. That's revival. I can't wait to be part of blessing somebody. I can't wait to put some money into somebody's hand and bless them. I can't wait to give in Sunday morning service. I can't wait to go over to the office and say, look, I just made $100. Here, just take it and give it to somebody. Use it to spread the gospel. Do whatever you're going to do to it. It's not mine, it's His. That's the difference. Number one in my sermon. I'm not going to tell you about the third thing until I get to it. Because if you do this third thing, what I'm about to preach to you is nothing. Number one, Genesis chapter 26. God is the one who provides our provisions. He provides all that we need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is the story of Isaac. Isaac had received the covenant of his father Abraham. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 that He would give him the blessings upon blessings. He would have enough, He would have the greatest herds. He would have the greatest land mass. He would be blessed and blessed and blessed. Somebody asked me this morning how I was doing before I left where I was staying. And I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. I said, that's what you need to tell people. You're blessed and highly favored. This is what she said to me. That used to be just like a colloquialism back in the 90s. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm making it new today because I truly am blessed and highly favored of God. Why? Because I was there and I repented for my sin. I got rid of that trash. I stood up in Christ in the anointing and I haven't left there yet and I don't plan to leave there. When I do, you're going to put this old nasty body in a grave somewhere. But I'm going to be with the Master praising and having church, I'm going to tell you. So what happens to Isaac? Something wonderful happens to Isaac. Isaac receives the blessing of his father. It's your blessing too, by the way. Can you say my blessing? One, two, three. One, two, three. Say it again. It's your blessing. The blessings of Abraham are your blessings. So God looks at you and says, all that I can give you, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you with it. See, but that's not the way I was taught in my religion. Well, leave the religion outside and let's find out what the Word of God says. It's called relationship. That's how you spell Holy Bible, relationship. Are you with me? Are you with me? And what happened was Isaac began to grow in the blessings of Gerar. Gerar was a place, if you look at it, it's where the Bedouins live now. There's still a place called Gerar. And there's still people living there. They're Bedouins. And they live there in the dust. You take your step and the dust just flies up everywhere. And they have nothing, but they live in these tents and they go to and fro about that part of the world. Until Isaac came. You see, Isaac's carrying the covenant of God. God visited Isaac and said, I'm going to give you the same blessing I gave your father. It's not only his, but it's yours also. And it's to the generations that follow you. What happens? Isaac goes into the area of Gerar, and all of a sudden, the ground, instead of being in famine, because they were in famine, they were in rough times. I'm going to say this to you again. I said it last time I was here. You are not subject to the economy of this world. You are subject to God's economy. If you don't believe that, come with me. I'll show you what God does when you forget about the economy of the world and you start giving yourself into blessing and blessing and blessing. Don't hold on to it. Get rid of it. Come on. Don't hold on to it. Get rid of it. And God will send it back to you greater than you ever expected. I'm a living testimony of that. I cannot give enough out because it keeps coming in. And I keep giving it out. I'm feeding 219 kids every month right now. When I was here last time, we raised money. Somebody gave me money for the kids' uniforms and the school that we support in Mumbawa. All those kids went to school. All of them got uniforms. And money kept coming in for the kids, and I keep sending it over there for the kids. It's not my money, it's their money. And God just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing. Now He's blessing with great healings. If you're here today and you need to be healed, just get ready. I'm telling you, I've never seen God move like this in my life. It's not David. David doesn't have anything to give you. But Father is here to do miracles this morning. You see, I believe that. It's a foreknown conclusion with me. I'm not going to have to work myself up or work myself down or get you all worked up to do it. It just happens. Glory to God. Last Sunday I stood and there was a line that went around all the way around the church inside the sanctuary. 2 hours later, I prayed for the last person. And that person got healed just as gloriously as the first one did. It has nothing to do with David. It has all to do with him. Remember, it's not about me. It's about him. Glory to God. Well, Isaac began to be blessed. When you walked into Isaac's neighborhood, if I may use this example, every place you looked, every tent you saw, there was nothing but dusty ground around it. There was no grass. There were no herds. There was nothing except dead carcasses. Until you walk by Isaac's house. And there's Isaac out there saying, "Be green grass. Be green grass." He said, "Hey, look at this grass. Isn't this beautiful?" There's his line right there. There's his neighbor's line. There's his line. There's herds of animals and many, many people out there. People working the land. Hundreds and hundreds of people. Matter of fact, it grew so great, so powerfully, that the king went to him and said, "Would you please leave? You're getting too big and too prosperous for us to handle it." And Isaac said, "What did I do wrong?" "You've done nothing wrong." Well, he did do something wrong, but we don't need to get into that today. He said, "For your own good, I want you to move out." So Isaac said, "Fine. I'll move out." And he moved to another barren area. Remember, there's famine in the land. It didn't bother him at all because he knew where the blessings come from. Hello, listen to me. When you know where the blessings come from and you know how to walk in that blessing, it doesn't matter where you are. God is going to take care of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what happens is Isaac goes to the valley of, which is outside the city of Gerar. Gerar, I hope I pronounced that right. Gerar. He's outside the city in the valley. Oh, guess what? He's out there where his father had dug wells before. Now he's out there and all the guys are finding out how he's getting the water to irrigate everything. So every time his men dig a well that Abraham had dug, the guys from the city were coming up and saying, "No, that's our well, that's our well." And they would get a little skirmishes about it. Eventually, Isaac says, "Don't worry about it." He was from up north. He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "Don't worry about it, man." He said, "Come on. See over there? Go dig those. They're ours." So they began to dig the wells and irrigate the land. Smart. Smart. You're smart. You see, when you're walking where you're supposed to be and you're walking in the covenant God gave you, the covenant that I shared with you out of Genesis chapter 26, you can't do anything but have your life blessed of the Lord. You say, "Well, Dave, you're a whatever preacher you call him." No, I'm not one of those guys. I'm just giving you what it is. Here's some verses that'll help you. 1 Corinthians 9:6. If you give in abundance, you'll what? Say it loud. You'll reap in abundance. If you give
a little bit,
you'll get
a little bit.
If I sow in abundance, then I'll reap in abundance. That's preacher talk. No, that's Bible talk. How do we beat this economy problem? You own a business here? Let me tell you something to do. Start tithing your business to the church. Your gold business. Ma'am, I'm telling you right now, if that's your business, you tithe that business to the church. Now, I pointed you out. The reason for it is you're making a lot of money with this gold. I know they made money, but you made some money too. Are you with me? You should be making money. You got a business. Tie that business to the church. You got to be kidding me. No. Tie the business to the church. You know how much money that would be every month? Yeah. Lots of money. Why would I do such a thing? There's a man in my church for a while. His name was Jim. He owned a poor folks restaurant. I was preaching a sermon similar to this one Sunday morning, and he comes up to me after church. He said, "I'm going to tithe every week." That was a great restaurant. He was doing good. But he was doing it out of just a fleshy response. So every Monday morning, he would come in, and he'd lay a bunch of cash on my desk. He'd say, "Here you go." So I called my secretary, and I said, "Count this. Put it in an envelope, put it in the safe." Well, he did it for about 6 months. There was a lot of money in that safe, let me tell you. After the 6 month, things began to get tough for him. He said, "Oh, Pastor, pray for me. We need money." So I went in and I got a bag of money. And I went over to see him and I said, "Here you go. There's your money. He said, that's the money I gave you. I said, that's the money you gave me out of the flesh. Now I want you to give it back to me in the spirit. I want you to give it back to me the way you're supposed to give it. He gave me twice that much back 2 months later. And then he began to bless the church. He didn't only tithe 10%, he tithe 20% until the restaurant chain broke up and he had to go do something else. Blessed. He's so blessed today he can't stand himself. Say, well, why are you talking about money? You're not the pastor. Yes, that's right. Give it and shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. Shall who give unto your bosom? Shall men give unto your bosom? Is money going to fall from heaven? No. So how are we going to do the work of the Lord? We give from our pockets. How are we going to take care of the witness of the church in the city? Because we give from our pockets. But who's going to provide for you? God is. God's going to bless you. Well, in your business, He's going to provide customers for you. You say, well, I'm living on a fixed income. Look out, here comes a raise I heard the other day. Raises are coming. Blessings are coming. I got a check yesterday. Excuse me, I got a letter yesterday from a man I haven't talked to in months. Months, mind. He didn't have any money. He sent me 3 checks in the mail. All for $25. I said, thank you, Jesus. My wife and I held those checks and we prayed blessings on him. Then when we got finished praying blessings on him, I got up and danced around the living room. I said, look at this. Look at this. This is a blessing, honey. And she says, yes, it is. I said, no, you don't know how big a blessing this is. This man doesn't have any money. What he gave out of his need. I said, look at this. You know this man? His wife died early. His boys are in the Marine Corps. None of them have any money at all. They're living from day to day. But he goes in his checkbook and he pulls out 3 checks and he writes in very poor handwriting out a check to his Missions International. And the next thing I know, I get him in the mail and I hold him and I start to weep. I said, honey, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. He never has told me he didn't have money to give. He's never said to me, I don't have it. He's always said to me, I'm going to send it. You just hang on, Brother Baldwin. It's coming. Now, I never ask him for a penny. I don't ask people for money. I share the story of what we do, and God just reins it in. Thank God for that. So we have to give. Number two, point number two. We're going to go from that now because I see you getting a little bit weary. He's getting too close to my purse. You better watch it. He preserves us. Once you come up from that position of repentance for your sin and you stand up in Christ, you begin to learn that He will preserve you through the most difficult situations. He will teach you to persevere through the toughest of days. He will show you a vision of His glory and you can walk with Him hand in hand as He breathes the life of God in you day after day and causes you to be a warrior you never thought you'd ever be. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You have David returning to Ziklag. I love this story. I probably preached it 1,000 different ways. But David had been in battle and everyone was getting weary. The Philistines were getting weary and David was men and his men were getting weary. And Achish comes to him and says, look, why don't you take off for a while? Why don't you just go take a rest? And David had been victorious in many, many battles. So David tells his mighty men, he says, let's go home. Can you imagine that? You've been in the military? Wave at me. You know what it means for somebody to say, let's go home. You've been on a long trip and you're exhausted at the end, like I will be tomorrow afternoon when I drive home. Huh? I'll be glad to go home. His men are kind of walking down this 80-mile road they had to go down. 80 miles they marched to get to Ziklag. And as they marched, there were men who had won the battles, but they were still cut up. Men that won the battle, they were still tired. They had wounds and bruises and they'd been beaten, but they won the battle. Just because you win doesn't mean you don't get bruised up a little bit. Somebody say amen. So they're walking and finally their anticipation begins to peek out and grow. And as it grows, they begin to think, I can't wait to see my wife. I can't wait to hold my babies in my arm. I can't wait to see them. And as they turn the corner and they look at what Ziklag used to be, and all they see is smoke billowing up in the air. And all they smell are cinders. And they're saying, oh no, oh no, I'm too tired to run up there. I need my wife to bandage my wounds. I'm tired. I've been next to David in all these battles, and we've won gloriously. But look, 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 that which we want to be is gone. Sometimes that happens in our life, and I'm going to teach you what you're supposed to do right now. You're walking so hard and working for the Lord, and all of a sudden, where you want to finally end up, you get there, and it's a disaster. I have a good friend that was just promoted in the Church of God, I guess you'd call it. He's the overseer for a major part of North Carolina now. They put him in a big church. I was in that church Wednesday night. It is big and it's got a lot of people in it. It's a beautiful church. Beautiful people. But it came with baggage. You know what that's all about. I know what that's all about. And he's having to deal with that baggage. God bless him. And you know what? He's doing a great job of it. But he hasn't given up. He's still got that smile on his face. See, something happened in him. And I'll tell you what happened. He was just like David. David walked into Ziklag. Every step he took, puffs of ashes went up in the air. And he looked around. He went where his house was. And he looked, fearing he would find the bones of his children and his wife. And he didn't see him, so he knew automatically the Amalekites had done something. Because they weren't murderers, they were thieves and robbers. And they would burn villages and take people off and make them slaves. Finally, David's face hits the soot. And he begins to cry out to God. You see, when you're that devastated, you don't care where your face ends up, as long as your lips are able to move and touch a powerful God. God, oh God, oh God, what am I to do? Look around me, God. Everything is destroyed. What am I supposed to do? Now, I'm telling you, you're standing up in Christ, all right? What am I supposed to do, God? Look, look before me. And then something clicked in David's heart. And I could see a smile on his face. He said, shall I pursue them? And God said, pursue him. Are you listening to me this morning? When the enemy thinks he's got you down, get up off your knees. Now I can see David now taking his sword out of his sheath and his cummerbund thing and putting it on the ground to help himself up. I can see one of his boys over there helping him up, and there stands David, hardly on his feet. He takes his sword and he wipes it off on his clothes and he says, boys, let's go. Are you listening to me? When the devil thinks he's got you, the anointing stirs up inside you and tells you one thing after the other. The first thing it says is, go get back what the devil has stolen. Go to the Satan's house and steal back what he stole from you. Say, it's mine and you can't have it. It's got my kids. Give them back. He's got my money. Give it back. He got my house. Give it back. He's got these things that mean everything to me. He's got my attention. And he loves it when he gets your attention. So don't give him any attention. Tell him, listen to me, you dumb devil. You are finished. You're defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he has got control of the situation. David wiped off. And I'm telling you, energy started to pour in his life. You know what I'm talking about. You ever worked out? I used to work out. You know, you ever work out and you're so tired at the end, your arms feel like this. And all of a sudden, kink. Oh, yeah. Bring it, big boy. Bring it, big boy. How many of you guys been there? You know, when you were young and the neighborhood bully, you finally had all you wanted of him. And he came up, he's pushing you around. And finally you put that foot back. You say, okay, that's enough. And he goes, oh my goodness. You say, you want it? Come get it. Then you beat the daylights out of him. But when we were about BC days, okay? That's before Jesus. So what happens is this. David tells his boys, he said, all right, boys, we're going to go get our families back. And they're jumping and shouting because they got renewed with energy. Because when the Lord renews you, He fills you up with faith to win the battle. He told David to go get it. He said, get whatever they took from you, plus all they have. And He gave David this tremendous strategy to take care of it. David says, come on, boys. Then a group of guys came to David and said, David, that last fight, that guy's sword went all the way through me and it pricked my stomach and it hurt my back. I can't go. Is that okay? David said, you stay here and take care of yourself. And he went to another guy. Another guy said, I can't. He said, you guys, you 300, you stay here. Come on, boys, let's go. And they went. And if you know the story, the tremendous tactical move they made. They won. That's the key. And they went in and they got everything that belonged to them and their wives and their children. And they got all of the Amalekites' goods and they brought it back to camp. Here's a great lesson for you as far as church is concerned. They brought everything back in and there's David. He's looking at it and his men are splitting it up between the men in the battle. And here comes these boys that couldn't go. And said, they don't get any because they weren't with us. Oh, but they've been with us the whole time. Listen to me, church. It may be one or two people working in the lawn. But I want you to know their hard work brings blessings on the church. And you all get blessed. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. The responsibility of the church is to realize that we have been called to perseverance. Receive blessing, provision. We walk in perseverance. I have no idea what time it is. The last point is out of Mark chapter 5. Now, this may be different, and you ministers in the room, you're going to hear this, and it's going to shake you up a little bit, and that's why I'm preaching it, because I love to shake up preachers. Here we go. Hey, y'all hang on now. Here it comes. I want to ask you a question. In Matthew chapter 5, we see the woman with the issue of blood. Great healing testimony. Love to preach it for healing services. And Jesus is walking. He runs into Jairus and he tells him that his daughter is going to die if Jesus doesn't come. And he says, come on, let's go. Jesus never stops. Here's the lesson for you. Jesus never stops moving. He keeps flowing. He's flowing right now in here. Really wonderful. And he keeps flowing. And Jairus came and says, come to my house. He said, let's go. While he's on his way to the house, you know what happens. The woman with the issue says, I can just touch the hem of his garment, everything will be fine. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, everything will be fine. So she breaks through the crowd, breaking all kinds of Levitical rules. And she gets up, she grabs the hem of his garment, and Jesus says, who touched me? This is important, listen. Who touched me? Well, first Peter said, well, Lord, everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody touched me, and I felt virtue go out of me. Somebody touched me, and their faith drew out of me life. Now, I got a question for you. You're in the crowd. You're watching all this happen. Who are you? The bystander? Watching it happen? Thinking, oh my goodness, is the priest going to get a hold of her later? Or are you one of the disciples that's walking next to Jesus when she finally grabs the hem of his garment and Jesus turns and they're looking at Jesus and looking at her and looking at Peter saying, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Are you one of them? Or maybe you're Peter. You're Peter and you're standing. You know exactly what's going on and you're watching what's happening. Which one are you? I mean, there's Jesus. There's Peter. There's the bystander. There's the other apostle. Which one are you? Here it comes. Hang on. She touched the hem of his garment. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, am I Peter? Peter's over here, excuse me. Am I the apostle? Am I Peter or am I a bystander? Who am I? You're the one wearing the garment. You should be the one wearing the garment. Did you hear me? You should be the one wearing the garment. We should be people that wear the garment. When we walk out in the city, we should not be weird, but we should walk in Christ so that our garments radiate the Lord. Last time I was in Africa, I walked by a bunch of people and they looked at me, not because I was white, because there were other white people there, but they looked at me and they had heard of what happened in Mumbawa. And I was about 10 miles outside Mumbawa in this place where there's a mine and so forth. And they came over and they started touching me. They were touching me, grabbing my hand. They had heard of the miracles that God had done in Mumbawa. They had heard of the things that God had done in Freetown before we left. And they wanted that. And I kept telling them, it's not me, it's not me. Tell them, it's not me, it's not me. Tell them. They wouldn't receive that. They kept wanting to touch me and pull on my clothes and things like that. And finally I turned to this lady I knew was ill. You could tell. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. Delivered by the power of God. It's not me. He lives in me. It's His garment on me. And it's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you stand up, the last point is when you stand up in the anointing, things begin to happen in your life. You're not the same anymore. The key to revival is change. It is a paradigm shift that you'll never have again. Revival is not just listening to sermons or preachers preach at you. Revival is saying, I take it in, God. I take it all in so that it changes me. It adjusts me. I want to be different when this is over. And if I'm not God, what good am I to the church? Why did you call me to this place of revival unless I give my all to God? Surrender. Realize it's Him walking in you and living in you. Realize it's Him that's empowering you to be who you are in Christ. Realize it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead that has risen in you and caused you to be a new creature in Christ. You're not who you were 10 years ago. You're not who you were 5 years ago. You are brand new, and the revival makes it new again. You don't get washed in the blood again. That's been done. But what happens is there's a stirring in you that says, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. I want to live for the King. And you realize now that if you live for the King, things are different. There's a power. There's an anointing. There's an authority in you. 2 weeks ago, a lady came to the altar. She had a thing on her arm. And she said to me, does anybody want to need prayer for healing? And she came up, she said, this thing on my arm. I couldn't believe what came on me. I said, take it off. Take this thing off. And so I said, take it off. And she unbuckled it, pulled it off and handed it to somebody. I said, what's the problem? She said, I got pain all up and down my arm. I said, you do? She said, yeah. I grabbed her arm and I started just touching her arm. I said, where's that pain you were talking about? She said, what pain? I said, where's this pain? Move your arm. I said, do this. Next thing you know, she's jumping up and down. She ran back to her pastor. She said, look. She said, what do you expect? I told you He was coming. Not me, but Jesus was coming. Last week, a man came to the altar. 10% hearing in both ears. He looked at me and he says, I have spent $20,000 in the last year on hearing aids and things, and nothing works. All I hear is this crackling sound. God came on that man. And while I was praying for him, I took down one of my hands and I kept talking to him in a normal voice. And he started answering me in a normal voice. I prayed for the other ear and I started talking to him. And he started answering me in a normal voice. I walked behind him and I started whispering to him. And he says, man, I can hear you. I said, can you hear me good? He says, yeah. I said, guess what? He said, I'm healed. He got his eardrums back. You never know, do you? You see, God is alive in the church. These are the days we've been asking God for years. We're here. We're here. Tell your friends we're here. We're here. We're here. These are the days. Oh, Brother Dave, you see blind people see out there. Yeah, I see blind people see here too. Oh, Brother Dave, we see arms that are all stuck and bent. They can't move them. Move there with this. See them here too. Well, we see people who got cancers on the side. I'll never forget John Moses, the bishop. We made him bishop over the whole ministry there. And this lady had a cancer on the side of her face, and I don't know how much of this John's been involved in, but he goes over and he puts his hand on that cancer. He says, in Creole, he said, "Cancer, come off in Jesus' name." And he went like this, and it fell off right in his hand. The power of God. He threw it on the ground and started stomping on it. I couldn't stop him for a week. He was running around praying for everybody. I mean, that guy, he just went, praise God. What an anointing he has. He said, "Well, that's for missions." No, it's for Wallace. And it's not just today, it's every day. We got to get involved in this stuff. We got to believe that God is real. We got to understand that what God wants in the church, He wants right here in Wallace. This place should be full. And it's not going to be full unless you fill it up. Well, we got to buy advertising. Don't buy advertising. Fill the house. Bring people to church. You know people, bring them to church. Why are you letting them sit home and dying and going to hell? I mean, I don't understand that. Go get them. I used to send my Marines out when I pastored in Jacksonville. Go get them. I went to church full next Sunday. These poor guys would scare people to death. They said, "You're going to me. I have to send a bus out to pick them up." Remember that blue bus we had? I had to send that out to Cherry Point to pick, not Cherry Point, but to Lejeune to pick up the Marines. We had to feed them and everything, but we got them there. Got them healed, saved, and blessed. There's no reason for an empty church anymore. Those days are over. Those days are over. I know uneducated pastors who barely can read the Bible, who've got churches so full right now they can barely move in the sanctuary. Because they let God be God and everybody's going to tell everybody about it. So the last point is, I think I should be wrapping this up. I don't know. If I've got the garment on, then I'm representing Jesus Christ wherever I go and whatever I do. Whether it's walking the trails in the bush in Africa or whether it's walking down the streets of Wallace, you're no different than I am. Put your garment on and make a difference. Are you with me? Make a difference where you are. Make a difference where you are. Now, what I'm going to do is pray. And we don't need a whole lot of stuff here going on. I'm going to pray. And if you need prayer and you're ready to be healed, I want you to come up and we'll pray for you and God will heal you and go home. You ready? Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, first of all, Lord, beyond everything there is, we ask you, Master, will you save the lost this morning? Will you save the lost this morning? Those that would say, you know, I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure. But I want to know because I want to live a life with God's blessings. I want to live a saved life. And I want a personal revival. I was walking with the Lord at one time, but I'm not now. I don't normally do this anymore, but every eye closed, please. I believe there's people here this morning that need to give their lives back to Christ. They need to come to the Master and say, "Jesus, receive me. Receive me." If that's your heart, you want to give your life to Christ today and say, "Lord, receive my life." Lift up your hand right now. Do it right now so we can move on to other things. Lift your hand and say, "Brother, that's me. I want to get my life right with God. I want to get my life right with God." But see, I'm backslidden, brother. And I don't want anybody to know about this, but I'll throw my hand up and down real quick, let you know I'm coming home. Coming home today. If that's you, lift your hand up, put it back down real quick. Let me see. Anybody? Anybody? Praise the Lord. Okay. Yes. Father, there's a lot of people here I've prayed for before. And I feel led to pray for somebody named Ann. I don't even know who Ann is. But Father, if Ann's here, may she come to the altar and let us minister to him. Father, if there's anyone here that's sick and needs your healing touch today, let them come now, Father, and give us grace and anointing to heal the sick. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need healing, come on. Come quickly. This is fun. Watch this. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak to my sister's pancreas to be whole in Jesus' name. Arthritis, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to leave her body now in Jesus' name. Arthritis, your job is over here. Leave her now in the name of Jesus Christ. Move where the arthritis was. No pain. No pain. Come on, tell me. Pain's gone? Did you have pain when you came up here? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, swelling go away in Jesus' name. Let my sister be normal in every area in Jesus' name. Heal her body, Father. Set her free. Amen. 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 Blessing in the name of Jesus. Take the blessing of God and be filled and healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me go this way. Hey, buddy. How you doing? What's going on? A couple of weeks ago, a month ago, a lady came for prayer. She had a bump on the side of her eye. She said, if this thing bursts, I'll go blind. So I said, well, I'm not going to touch you then. She said, no, give me your hand. This lady was a very well-to-do type lady. You just don't mess with, you know. And she said, I slapped her on her face. She said, pray, Brother Paul. So let's do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my brother's eye. God, do a mighty, 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 mighty miracle my brother's life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes. No arthritis. Jesus. Shoulder be right in Jesus' name. Come to order. Bone, find your place and stay there. Pain, let him go in Jesus' name. Be healed, my brother, in Jesus' name. Move your arm around. Come on, let's find the healing. In Jesus' name. Move it up, down, up. No pain in Jesus' name. Well, go away in Jesus' name. Tell it to go. You own that healing. It's my healing. Take it in Jesus' name. No pain. Give me your hand up here. No pain in Jesus' name. I'm not going to let you go until the pain's gone. In Jesus' name. No pain. Put it down. There you go. I want you. Okay. Yes, honey. Last time I prayed for you, we got rid of this. Now we got it back. That's right, yeah. So you're doing good? So God healed you that day. And you're still healed. This dear lady, the last time I was here in August, was suffering with depression. And she told me she has not been depressed since. Is that what you're telling me or not? God totally healed her. Totally healed. Now y'all listen to that. That's encouragement for you. So what's going on now, honey? arthritis in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose this lady. Let her go. Father, I pray that you will recreate the bottom of my sister's spine. Lord, let there be new growth there in Jesus' name. Down the tailbone area, Father, and up to those first few vertebrae, Father, deliver her from this pain and heal my sister. Thank you, Father, for being here to do this miracle today. You know, the doctors say some are too old. Dr. Jesus says you're never too old. So receive healing, dear, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. No arthritis. All pain is gone. Yes, brother. Father, in Jesus' name, open my brother's ears. God, give him 100% hearing so that his equilibrium will be right and he would be made perfect in Jesus' name. God, heal my brother's body from all arthritis, no matter what it's called. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Open these ears, Father, today in Jesus' name. Now, are you listening to me? Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me better? Yes or no?
Yes.
Can you, wait a second, let me find your ear again. Can you hear me better now?
No?
Good. Glad you told me that. Father, in Jesus' name, open this ear, I pray. In Jesus' name. Deafness, loose him. Let him go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, how's that? That's better, isn't it? You there? Hello? You there? Is it better? It is? Can you hear better out of your ears? Arthritis, in the name of Jesus, loose him, let him go. In Jesus' name. No more pain, my dear brother. God, heal my brother's skeleton, I pray. Not anymore. Okay, all right. Father, Lord, loose his tendons and his cartilage and his legs in Jesus' name. And heal his circulatory system, Father. Amen. Let me come over here, brother. Yes, dear. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for this young lady that you open her lungs today and give her freedom of breath in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, free her, Master, of all encumbrance so that not only can she breathe, but she can breathe hard, God, that she can run again, do the things that are natural again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, I see that thing in her back. Heal that, Master, I pray, in Jesus' name. No more pain. Be delivered, dear sister, in Jesus' name. And we pray for Mama to be delivered and set free, in Jesus' name. Bend over. Let's try your back, honey, bud. I got you. No pain. No pain. No pain. No pain, in Jesus' name. Is it better? Do it again. No pain in Jesus' name. No pain in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to breathe Jesus in. Because that's the air. Oh, I'm getting dizzy. That's the air I breathe. Take a deep breath. Come on. One more time. Is that better, honey? Really? Really? I want you to walk back to the back of the church and walk back up here to me. Quick. Come on. Come on, precious. Now, let me see how you're breathing. Better? I don't want to ask you to do something. I want to know. OK? Okay, because the healings have to be pure. There you go. You sing. Can you sing? All right. Play me what song do you know? Can you play I Can Only Imagine? I Can Only Imagine. Sing loud. Okay. Give God a great big hand, everybody. There's no pain in your back at all. Could you bend over like that before? No? I want you to go over here and tell these people that God just healed you. Tell them what happened. Here, Pastor. Hey, buddy. Man, I'm good. You look good. Well, that's both of us. I'm going down here. You're fine. What's going on with you? You've been what? Oh, Master. Master, your servant is here. He needs your touch. He needs your deliverance. Your healing, Master. Oh, in the name of Jesus, pancreas, come back into order. Father, heal my brother's pancreas and heal him from all that has happened to him in his life, body, soul. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. In Jesus' name. God, brother, you came ready for this. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, this is getting stronger and stronger by the minute. In the name of Jesus, Master, Savior, Master, Savior. Oh, Lord, I know you're here. I feel your presence. Thanks for healing my sister. God, open her veins. May they function properly. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. This is wonderful. My goodness. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Let them legs burn, sis. Burn. Healed in Jesus' name. Oh, my. Just receive that, dear. Yes, baby doll. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Deliver my sister from all of these things in her kidney in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How many of you here are having trouble with blockages in your system. The doctor says you need to take medicine because you have a blockage and your cholesterol is high. Come back up here. Anybody else? You got high cholesterol problems? Okay. All right. Be healed. Yes. What's in your throat? Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, do an operation here, Master, this morning. Take this thyroid down to where it's supposed to be. Heal my sister in the name of Jesus. Deliver her, Master, from all encumbrance. Thyroid, be healed in Jesus' name and be healed right now. God, let her swallow that thing down. Let her be healed in Jesus' name. Thyroid, go down to normal now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whatever was sticking out there is. See if you find it. No, see if you can find it. Where is it? Where is it? Thyroid in Jesus' name. I told you to go. In Jesus' name. Now go. Go for my sister. Yes. In the name of Jesus. You're done here. You're done here. Go away. In Jesus' name. Yes, precious. Yes. We're not here because of us. We're here to proclaim this morning that it's all about you. It is, Father. It's your salvation that you gave us. Now it's our salvation. It's your love that you give us continually, and now it's our love that we have and we own it. We receive it and it's ours and we give it to other people around the world. Whether it's here in Wallace or in Sierra Leone, Father, where there's so much of my life involved in the churches there and in the churches in Mumbawa. But Master, today I pray for Wallace. I pray, God, for an awakening in this city that goes beyond the expectations of every believer in this city. Lord, I pray for an explosion of reality that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the only way to us. We're not here because of us. We're here to proclaim this morning that it's all about you. It is, Father. It's your salvation that you gave us. Now it's our salvation. It's your love that you give us continually, and now it's our love that we have and we own it. We receive it and it's ours and we give it to other people around the world. Whether it's here in Wallace or in Sierra Leone, Father, where there's so much of my life involved in the churches there and in the churches in Mumbawa. But Master, today I pray for Wallace. I pray, God, for an awakening in this city that goes beyond the expectations of every believer in this city. Lord, I pray for an explosion of reality that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the only way to the Father. When in such many ways around the world today, we're told that there's other ways to God and other gods that have other names and they say it's the same as God. No, it's not. We proclaim today there's only one God and there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, the righteous. Everything else is fake. Everything else is a lie. There's no other truth in it. And there should be no syncretism in the church anywhere. Jesus Christ should be glorified in all that we do and all that we are and all that we go after. It is for His glory we pray. Amen. I have an introduction to my sermon, then I'm going to preach my sermon. Is that okay? I was praying yesterday in the Holy Ghost and the Lord showed me something. And I want to show it to you. I love revivals, but I don't preach many of them. I normally come in after the revival's over. That's just the way they call me. They say, Dave, will you come in now and help put it all together? So that's what I'm going to do for you this morning. I know it's not over for several more days, and you haven't seen nothing yet. Even when this old boy leaves, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's all coming, but it's already here, too. Do you know the Holy Spirit is here with you this morning? Are you listening to me? Do you know the Holy Ghost is here today? I like that word. Today, right now, He's right here. I want to teach you three things real quick about what revivals are all about. Revivals are not a thing where you go and sit in church and listen to a man or a woman preach. Revivals are that moment when God touches your life and you fall on your knees and you repent for your sin. That's where it begins. Are you listening to me? Revival begins when you're on your knees before the Lord and you confess your sin. It doesn't start till you personally say, God, I need revival in my personal life. And when you say that, and you mean it, that's when revival comes knocking on your door. That's when you're flooded with the holiness of God. That's when the presence of the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, reminding of you of those things that you need to repent for. This is something between you and God. It's not something between you and those around you. It's you and God. You have a come to Jesus meeting, and He speaks to your heart, and the Holy Spirit says, this is the thing you need to deal with. And you begin to deal with it. And sometimes it's no fun. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it makes you change everything about you. But isn't that what revival is all about? Change me, Lord. Make me a better person. Make me somebody new. Help me to realize that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Isn't that what revival is all about? Galatians 2:20? Sure it is. I get on my knees, I confess my sin, and God says, now, are you finished? I've got them all here in my hand. And then Father takes him and he tosses them as far as the east is from the west. And now you're on your knees. Listen to me. You've emptied yourself out like a bale of water. All the water has been poured on the floor. There's nothing else to come out. You've repented for everything you can understand. You've repented for all that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about. You say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change a heart, change a mind, change a course of life. I'm never going to do those things again. God, help me walk in victory over those things in my life. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Have you been there before? Are you there now? If you're not, you need to be there. If you're going to have revival, it comes to you first. Then it spreads across the church. Then it spreads across the city. Then it spreads across the county. Then it spreads across the East Coast. Then it goes to the West Coast. Why? Because if it doesn't happen in you, it's not going to happen in your city. Now, you want it to happen in your city, but first you got to let it happen in you. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do His mighty work inside you, and He rips all that stuff out. It's like pulling a molar. How many of you have had to have your teeth pulled? Say amen. I got a set too. And I'm going to tell you something. It's no fun as they're pulling and pulling and pulling. Sometimes that's the way it is with our sin, those personal sins, those sins that are way down inside. Nobody knows about these sins. But they're there. That little thing you do here and there and yon. God knows all about that. You haven't gotten away with a thing. He watched you do it. He heard what you were thinking while you were in the middle of it. He said, I know you and I know what you're doing, but I love you greater than your sin. Repent and be received into my kingdom. Those are the things that we have to do. Get on our knees. No, I'm tired already and I just got started. Get on my knees. And I'm not getting up till I hear from God. I'm not getting up till I'm clean. I've said it out of my mouth. I've professed those sins before the Lord. My confession is pure. It's clean. And the next step is this. Whew. I stand up in Christ. The word Christ means the Anointed One. I stand up in the Anointed One. I am not that person anymore. Do you get this? This is vital to revival. I am not that person anymore. The devil's going to come and throw your sins back at you. He's going to try to make you think like you cannot stand up in the anointing. You can't do it. You tell him you're a liar, devil. And I'm telling you right now, I have been delivered and set free. I can stand up in the things of God, the truth of the word, and proclaim this word from one end of the earth to the other. And there's not a thing you can do about it. Are you listening to me? We worry too much about the devil when he's been defeated in our lives. When you confess your sins, Jesus raises you up in His anointing. Glory to God. He raises you up in Christ, which means in Christo, which means the Anointed One. And there you are. You're standing in the beauty of God's holiness. Glory to God. And that takes something. That turns a button inside your life. Your spirit rises up and says, what can I do now for God? Where can I go now? How can I touch the city for Jesus? It's not can I, do I want to. No, you can't wait. You're salivating for an opportunity to tell someone somewhere that God loves them, God cares for them, God wants His best for them. God is moving in the city. Because He's moving in you. And nothing can come nigh your dwelling. The devil knocks on your door, you knock on his. Bang! You say, go on about yourself. He starts telling you those lies and you look at him and say, you know, I'm not interested in your lies. Somebody comes down the street and you're talking to them. They tell you, oh, I remember that church. You don't know this church. You think you know this church? Until you've been in this church and you've been around this man of God and his family. You don't know anything yet. What you've been in the service with him. What you felt the anointing and the worship. What you've been under his leading of the Holy Spirit. Once you've been around these people, you're never the same again. That's the testimony of First Assembly of God. And that's the testimony that should be there. When you're standing up, my dear brother, in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, something happens to you. You're not the same again. You're not the same. You never will be the same. You may look at me and say, he's all fired up. I've been fired up for 10 weeks like this. I can't get unfired. I don't want to be unfired. I like to burn for Jesus. Listen, I'm an old man too, and I'm loving every minute of it. When you're down there, you leave the mess down there. When you get up, you're in the anointing and you see things differently. You're looking differently. You're not wondering whether God's going to move. You're just watching when He does move. You're seeing Him move. Wherever you go, your eye of faith is watching God do wonderful things. That's what's happening. And that's what should be happening. Once you dump your truck, once you get rid of your sin, once you let it all go, don't hang on to it anymore. Hey guys, get rid of those email addresses you're not supposed to have any longer. Toss them. Are you listening to me? Ladies, toss your email addresses. Also, get rid of that trash out of your life and find something that's glorious and wonderful. It's called the Word of God, and live it and read it. Eat it every day and it will change your life. If you want revival, you want a life-changing revival, not just an exercise you go through because it's something to do or it's something to have the annual revival. Nope. I'm here today in Jesus' name to stop that in Wallace. I'm here today to pull back the reins on the ponies. I'm here today to put my heels in and say, no, there's no more revivals. There was one great revival and Jesus came on the scene and the power of the Holy Ghost swept across the church and then it swept across the parking lot and then it swept across all downtown Wallace and they've never been the same since. But you gotta want it more than I do. You gotta want it. You gotta have a passion for it. You gotta have a desire, a flaw frothing at the mouth to do the things of God. When you get up in the morning, you say, I can't wait to be God's hand today. I can't wait to be God's voice today. That's revival. I can't wait to be part of blessing somebody. I can't wait to put some money into somebody's hand and bless them. I can't wait to give in Sunday morning service. I can't wait to go over to the office and say, look, I just made $100. Here, just take it and give it to somebody. Use it to spread the gospel. Do whatever you're going to do to it. It's not mine, it's His. That's the difference. Number one in my sermon. I'm not going to tell you about the third thing until I get to it. Because if you do this third thing, what I'm about to preach to you is nothing. Number one, Genesis chapter 26. God is the one who provides our provisions. He provides all that we need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is the story of Isaac. Isaac had received the covenant of his father Abraham. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 that He would give him the blessings upon blessings. He would have enough, He would have the greatest herds. He would have the greatest land mass. He would be blessed and blessed and blessed. Somebody asked me this morning how I was doing before I left where I was staying. And I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. I said, that's what you need to tell people. You're blessed and highly favored. This is what she said to me. That used to be just like a colloquialism back in the 90s. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm making it new today because I truly am blessed and highly favored of God. Why? Because I was there and I repented for my sin. I got rid of that trash. I stood up in Christ in the anointing and I haven't left there yet and I don't plan to leave there. When I do, you're going to put this old nasty body in a grave somewhere. But I'm going to be with the Master praising and having church, I'm going to tell you. So what happens to Isaac? Something wonderful happens to Isaac. Isaac receives the blessing of his father. It's your blessing too, by the way. Can you say my blessing? One, two, three. One, two, three. Say it again. It's your blessing. The blessings of Abraham are your blessings. So God looks at you and says, all that I can give you, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you with it. See, but that's not the way I was taught in my religion. Well, leave the religion outside and let's find out what the Word of God says. It's called relationship. That's how you spell Holy Bible, relationship. Are you with me? Are you with me? And what happened was Isaac began to grow in the blessings of Gerar. Gerar was a place that's, if you look at it, it's where the Bedouins live now. There's still a place called Gerar. And there's still people living there. They're Bedouins. And they live there in the dust. You take your step and the dust just flies up everywhere. And they have nothing, but they live in these tents and they go to and fro about that part of the world. Until Isaac came. You see, Isaac's carrying the covenant of God. God visited Isaac and said, I'm going to give you the same blessing I gave your father. It's not only his, but it's yours also. And it's to the generations that follow you. What happens? Isaac goes into the area of Gerar. And all of a sudden, the ground, instead of being in famine, because they were in famine, they were in rough times. I'm going to say this to you again. I said it last time I was here. You are not subject to the economy of this world. You are subject to God's economy. If you don't believe that, come with me. I'll show you what God does when you forget about the economy of the world and you start giving yourself into blessing and blessing and blessing. Don't hold on to it. Get rid of it. Come on. Don't hold on to it. Get rid of it. And God will send it back to you greater than you ever expected. I'm a living testimony of that. I cannot give enough out because it keeps coming in. And I keep giving it out. I'm feeding 219 kids every month right now. When I was here last time, we raised money. Somebody gave me money for the kids' uniforms and the school that we support in Mumbawa. All those kids went to school. All of them got uniforms. And money kept coming in for the kids, and I keep sending it over there for the kids. It's not my money, it's their money. And God just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing. Now He's blessing with great healings. If you're here today and you need to be healed, just get ready. I'm telling you, I've never seen God move like this in my life. It's not David. David doesn't have anything to give you. But Father is here to do miracles this morning. You see, I believe that. It's a foreign conclusion with me. I'm not going to have to work myself up or work myself down or get you all worked up to do it. It just happens. Glory to God. Last Sunday I stood and there was a line that went around all the way around the church inside the sanctuary. 2 hours later, I prayed for the last person. And that person got healed just as gloriously as the first one did. It has nothing to do with David. It has all to do with him. Remember, it's not about me. It's about him. Glory to God. Well, Isaac began to be blessed. When you walked into Isaac's neighborhood, if I may use this example, every place you looked, every tent you saw, there was nothing but dusty ground around it. There was no grass. There were no herds. There was nothing except dead carcasses. Until you walked by Isaac's house. And there's Isaac out there saying, be green grass. Be green grass. He said, hey, look at this grass. Isn't this beautiful? There's his line right there. There's his neighbor's line. There's his line. There's herds of animals and many, many people out there. People working the land. Hundreds and hundreds of people. Matter of fact, it grew so great, so powerfully, that the king went to him and said, would you please leave? You're getting too big and too prosperous for us to handle it. And Isaac said, what did I do wrong? You've done nothing wrong. Well, he did do something wrong, but we don't need to get into that today. He said, for your own good, I want you to move out. So Isaac said, fine, I'll move out. And he moved to another barren area. Remember, there's famine in the land. It didn't bother him at all because he knew where the blessings come from. Hello, listen to me. When you know where the blessings come from and you know how to walk in that blessing, it doesn't matter where you are. God is going to take care of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what happens is Isaac goes to the valley of, which is outside the city of Gerar. Gerar, I hope I pronounced that right. Gerar. He's outside the city in the valley. Oh, guess what? He's out there where his father had dug wells before. Now he's out there and all the guys are finding out how he's getting the water to irrigate everything. So every time his men dig a well that Abraham had dug, the guys from the city were coming up and saying, no, that's our well, that's our well. And they would get a little skirmishes about it. Eventually, Isaac says, don't worry about it. He was from up north. He said, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about it, man. He said, come on. See over there? Go dig those. They're ours. Simply they began to dig the wells and irrigate the land. Smart. Smart. You're smart. You see, when you're walking where you're supposed to be and you're walking in the covenant God gave you, the covenant that I shared with you out of Genesis chapter 26, you can't do anything but have your life blessed of the Lord. You say, well, Dave, you're a whatever preacher you call him. No, I'm not one of those guys. I'm just giving you what it is. Here's some verses that'll help you. 1 Corinthians 9:6. If you give in abundance, you'll what? Say it loud. You'll reap in abundance. If you give
a little bit,
you'll get
a little bit.
If I sow in abundance, then I'll reap in abundance. That's preacher talk. No, that's Bible talk. How do we beat this economy problem? You own a business here? Let me tell you something to do. Start tithing your business to the church. Your gold business. Ma'am, I'm telling you right now, if that's your business, you tithe that business to the church. Now, I pointed you out. The reason for it is you're making a lot of money with this gold. I know they made money, but you made some money too. Are you with me? You should be making money. You got a business. Tithe that business to the church. Why? You got to be kidding me. No. Tithe the business to the church. You know how much money that would be every month? Yeah. Lots of money. Why would I do such a thing? There's a man in my church for a while. His name was Jim. He owned a poor folks restaurant. I was preaching a sermon similar to this one Sunday morning, and he comes up to me after church. He said, I'm going to tithe every week. That was a great restaurant. He was doing good. But he was doing it out of just a fleshy response. So every Monday morning, he would come in and he'd lay a bunch of cash on my desk. He'd say, here you go. So I called my secretary and I said, count this, put it in an envelope, put it in the safe. Well, he did it for about 6 months. There was a lot of money in that safe, let me tell you. After the 6 month, things began to get tough for him. He said, oh, Pastor, pray for me. We need money. So I went in and I got a bag of money. And I went over to see him and I said, here you go. There's your money. He said, that's the money I gave you. I said, that's the money you gave me out of the flesh. Now I want you to give it back to me in the spirit. I want you to give it back to me the way you're supposed to give it. He gave me twice that much back 2 months later. And then he began to bless the church. He didn't only tithe 10%, he tithe 20% until the restaurant chain broke up and he had to go do something else. Blessed. He's so blessed today he can't stand himself. Say, well, why are you talking about money? You're not the pastor. Yes, that's right. Give it and shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. Shall who give unto your bosom? Shall men give unto your bosom? Is money going to fall from heaven? No. So how are we going to do the work of the Lord? We give from our pockets. How are we going to take care of the witness of the church in the city? Because we give from our pockets. But who's going to provide for you? God is. God's going to bless you. Well, in your business, He's going to provide customers for you. You say, well, I'm living on a fixed income. Look out, here comes a raise I heard the other day. Raises are coming. Blessings are coming. I got a check yesterday. Excuse me, I got a letter yesterday from a man I haven't talked to in months. Months, mind. He didn't have any money. He sent me 3 checks in the mail. All for $25. I said, thank you, Jesus. My wife and I held those checks and we prayed blessings on him. Then when we got finished praying blessings on him, I got up and danced around the living room. I said, look at this. Look at this. This is a blessing, honey. And she says, yes, it is. I said, no, you don't know how big a blessing this is. This man doesn't have any money. What he gave out of his need. I said, look at this. You know this man? His wife died early. His boys are in the Marine Corps. None of them have any money at all. They're living from day to day. But he goes in his checkbook and he pulls out 3 checks and he writes some very poor handwriting out a check to His Missions International. And the next thing I know, I get him in the mail and I hold him and I start to weep. I said, honey, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. He never has told me he didn't have money to give. He's never said to me, I don't have it. He's always said to me, I'm going to send it. You just hang on, Brother Baldwin. It's coming. Now, I never ask him for a penny. I don't ask people for money. I share the story of what we do, and God just reins it in. Thank God for that. So we have to give. Number two, point number two. We're going to go from that now because I see you getting a little bit weary. He's getting too close to my purse. You better watch it. He preserves us. Once you come up from that position of repentance for your sin and you stand up in Christ, you begin to learn that He will preserve you through the most difficult situations. He will teach you to persevere through the toughest of days. He will show you a vision of His glory, and you can walk with Him hand in hand as He breathes the life of God in you day after day and causes you to be a warrior you never thought you'd ever be. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You have David returning to Ziklag. I love this story. I probably preached it 1,000 different ways. But David had been in battle, and everyone was getting weary. The Philistines were getting weary, and David was men, and his men were getting weary. And Achish comes to him and says, look, why don't you take off for a while? Why don't you just go take a rest? And David had been victorious in many, many battles. So David tells his mighty men, he says, let's go home. Can you imagine that? You've been in the military? Wave at me. You know what it means for somebody to say, let's go home. You've been on a long trip and you're exhausted at the end, like I will be tomorrow afternoon when I drive home. Huh? I'll be glad to go home. His men are kind of walking down this 80-mile road they had to go down. 80 miles they marched to get to Ziklag. And as they marched, there were men who had won the battles, but they were still cut up. Men that won the battle, they were still tired. They had wounds and bruises and they had been beaten, but they won the battle. Just because you win doesn't mean you don't get bruised up a little bit. Somebody say amen. So they're walking and they're walking, and finally their anticipation begins to peak out and grow. And as it grows, they begin to think, I can't wait to see my wife. I can't wait to hold my babies in my arm. I can't wait to see them. And as they turn the corner and they look at what Ziklag used to be, and all they see is smoke billowing up in the air. And all they smell are cinders. And they're saying, oh no, oh no, I'm too tired to run up there. I need my wife to bandage my wounds. I'm tired. I've been next to David in all these battles, and we've won gloriously. But look, 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 that which we want to be is gone. Sometimes that happens in our life, and I'm going to teach you what you're supposed to do right now. You're walking so hard and working for the Lord, and all of a sudden where you want to finally end up, you get there and it's a disaster. I have a good friend that was just promoted in the Church of God, I guess you'd call it. He's the overseer for a major part of North Carolina now. They put him in a big church. I was in that church Wednesday night. It is big and it's got a lot of people in it. It's a beautiful church. Beautiful people. But it came with baggage. You know what that's all about. I know what that's all about. And he's having to deal with that baggage. God bless him. And you know what? He's doing a great job of it. But he hasn't given up. He's still got that smile on his face. See, something happened in him. And I'll tell you what happened. He was just like David. David walked in the Ziklag. Every step he took, puffs of ashes went up in the air. And he looked around. He went where his house was. And he looked, fearing he would find the bones of his children and his wife. And he didn't see them, so he knew automatically the Amalekites had done something. Because they weren't murderers, they were thieves and robbers. And they would burn villages and take people off and make them slaves. Finally, David's face hits the soot. And he begins to cry out to God. You see, when you're that devastated, you don't care where your face ends up, as long as your lips are able to move and touch a powerful God. God, oh God, oh God, what am I to do? Look around me, God. Everything is destroyed. What am I supposed to do? Now, I'm telling you, you're standing up in Christ, all right? What am I supposed to do, God? Look. Look before me. And then something clicked in David's heart. And I could see a smile on his face. He said, shall I pursue them? And God said, pursue him. Are you listening to me this morning? When the enemy thinks he's got you down, get up off your knees. Now I can see David now taking his sword out of his sheath and his cummerbund thing and putting it on the ground to help himself up. I can see one of his boys over there helping him up. And there stands David, hardly on his feet. He takes his sword and he wipes it off on his clothes and he says, "Boys, let's go." Are you listening to me? When the devil thinks he's got you, the anointing stirs up inside you and tells you one thing after the other. The first thing it says is, go get back what the devil has stolen. Go to the Satan's house and steal back what he stole from you. Say, it's mine and you can't have it. It's got my kids. Give them back. He's got my money. Give it back. He got my house. Give it back. He's got these things that mean everything to me. He's got my attention. And he loves it when he gets your attention. So don't give him any attention. Tell him, listen to me, you dumb devil. You're finished. You're defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he has got control of the situation. David wiped off. And I'm telling you, energy started to pour in his life. You know what I'm talking about. You ever worked out? I used to work out. You know, you ever work out and you're so tired at the end, your arms feel like this. And all of a sudden, kink. Oh, yeah. Bring it, big boy. Bring it, big boy. How many of you guys been there? You know, when you were young and the neighborhood bully, you finally had all you wanted of him. And he came up, he's pushing you around. And finally, you put that foot back. You say, okay, that's enough. And he goes, oh my goodness. You say, you want it? Come get it. Then you beat the daylights out of him. When we were about BC days, okay? That's before Jesus. So what happens is this. David tells his boys, he said, all right, boys, we're going to go get our families back. And they're jumping and shouting because they got renewed with energy. Because when the Lord renews you, he fills you up with faith to win the battle. He told David to go get it. He said, get whatever they took from you, plus all they have. And he gave David this tremendous strategy to take care of it. David says, come on, boys. Then a group of guys came to David and said, David, that last fight, that guy's sword went all the way through me and it pricked my stomach and it hurt my back. I can't go. Is that okay? David said, you stay here and take care of yourself. They went to another guy. Another guy said, I can't. I just, he said, you guys, you 300, you stay here. Come on, boys, let's go. And they went. And if you know the story, the tremendous tactical move they made. They won, and that's the key. And they went in and they got everything that belonged to them and their wives and their children. And they got all of the Amalekites' goods and they brought it back to camp. Here's a great lesson for you as far as church is concerned. They brought everything back in and there's David. He's looking at it and his men are splitting it up between the men in the battle. And here comes these boys that couldn't go. And said, they don't get any because they weren't with us. Oh, but they've been with us the whole time. Listen to me, church. It may be one or two people working in the lawn. But I want you to know their hard work brings blessings on the church. And you all get blessed. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. The responsibility of the church is to realize that we have been called to perseverance. Receive blessing, provision. We walk in perseverance. I have no idea what time it is. The last point is out of Mark chapter 5. Now, this may be different, and you ministers in the room, you're going to hear this, and it's going to shake you up a little bit, and that's why I'm preaching it, because I love to shake up preachers. Here we go. Hey, y'all hang on now. Here it comes. I want to ask you a question. In Matthew chapter 5, we see the woman with the issue of blood. Great healing testimony. Love to preach it for healing services. And Jesus is walking, he runs into Jairus and he tells him that his daughter is going to die if Jesus doesn't come. And he says, come on, let's go. Jesus never stops. Here's the lesson for you. Jesus never stops moving. He keeps flowing. He's flowing right now in here, really wonderful. And he keeps flowing. And Jairus came and says, come to my house. He said, let's go. While he's on his way to the house, you know what happens. The woman with the issue says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, everything will be fine. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, everything will be fine. So she breaks through the crowd, breaking all kinds of Levitical rules. And she gets up, she grabs the hem of his garment, and Jesus says, who touched me? This is important, listen. Who touched me? Well, first Peter said, well, Lord, everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody touched me, and I felt virtue go out of me. Somebody touched me, and their faith drew out of me life. Now, I got a question for you. You're in the crowd. You're watching all this happen. Who are you? The bystander? Watching it happen? Thinking, oh my goodness, is the priest going to get a hold of her later? Or are you one of the disciples that's walking next to Jesus? When she finally grabs the hem of his garment, Jesus turns and they're looking at Jesus and looking at her and looking at Peter saying, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Are you one of them? Or maybe you're Peter. You're Peter and you're standing, you know exactly what's going on and you're watching what's happening. Which one are you? I mean, there's Jesus, there's Peter, there's the bystander. There's the other apostle. Which one are you? Here it comes. Hang on. She touched the hem of his garment. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, am I Peter? Peter's over here, excuse me. Am I the apostle? Am I Peter or am I a bystander? Who am I? You're the one wearing the garment. You should be the one wearing the garment. Did you hear me? You should be the one wearing the garment. We should be people that wear the garment. When we walk out in the city, we should not be weird, but we should walk in Christ so that our garments radiate the Lord. Last time I was in Africa, I walked by a bunch of people and they looked at me, not because I was white, because there were other white people there, but they looked at me and they had heard of what happened in Mumbawa. And I was about 10 miles outside Mumbawa in this place where there's a mine and so forth. And they came over and they started touching me. They were touching me, grabbing my hand. They had heard of the miracles that God had done in Mumbawa. They had heard of the things that God had done in Freetown before we left. And they wanted that. And I kept telling them, it's not me, it's not me. Tell them, it's not me, it's not me. Tell them. They wouldn't receive that. They kept wanting to touch me and pull on my clothes and things like that. And finally I turned to this lady I knew was ill. You could tell. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. Delivered by the power of God. It's not me. He lives in me. It's His garment on me. And it's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you stand up, the last point is when you stand up, in the anointing, things begin to happen in your life. You're not the same anymore. The key to revival is change. It is a paradigm shift that you'll never have again. Revival is not just listening to sermons or preachers preach at you. Revival is saying, I take it in, God. I take it all in so that it changes me. It adjusts me. I want to be different when this is over. And if I'm not God, what good am I to the church? Why did you call me to this place of revival unless I give my all to God? Surrender. Realize it's Him walking in you and living in you. Realize it's Him that's empowering you to be who you are in Christ. Realize it's Jesus, Christ in Him crucified and raised from the dead that has risen in you and caused you to be a new creature in Christ. You're not who you were 10 years ago. You're not who you were 5 years ago. You are brand new, and the revival makes it new again. You don't get washed in the blood again. That's been done. But what happens is there's a stirring in you that says, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. I want to live for the King. And you realize now that if you live for the King, things are different. There's a power, there's an anointing, there's an authority in you. 2 weeks ago, a lady came to the altar. She had a thing on her arm. And she said to me, I said, does anybody want to need prayer for healing? And she came up, she said, I got this thing on my arm. I couldn't believe what came on me. I said, take it off. Take this thing off. And so I said, take it off. And she unbuckled it, pulled it off and handed it to somebody. I said, what's the problem? She said, I got pain all up and down my arm. I said, you do? She said, yeah. I grabbed her arm and I started just touching her arm. I said, where's that pain you were talking about? She said, what pain? I said, where's this pain? Move your arm. I said, do this. Next thing you know, she's jumping up and down. She ran back to her pastor. She said, look. She said, what do you expect? I told you he was coming. Not me, but Jesus was coming. Last week, a man came to the altar. 10% hearing in both ears. He looked at me and he says, I have spent $20,000 in the last year on hearing aids and things, and nothing works. All I hear is this crackling sound. God came on that man, and while I was praying for him, I took down one of my hands and I kept talking to him in a normal voice, and he started answering me in a normal voice. I prayed for the other ear, and I started talking to him. He started answering me in a normal voice. I walked behind him and I started whispering to him. And he says, man, I can hear you. I said, can you hear me good? He says, yeah. I said, guess what? He said, I'm healed. He got his eardrums back. You never know, do you? You see, God is alive in the church. These are the days we've been asking God for years. We're here. We're here. Tell your friends we're here. We're here. We're here. These are the days. Oh, Brother Dave, you see blind people see out there. Yeah, I see blind people see here too. Oh, Brother Dave, we see arms that are all stuck and bent. We can't move them. Move there. With this. See them here too. Well, we see people who got cancers on the side. And they're for John Moses, the bishop. We made him bishop over the whole ministry there. And this lady had a cancer on the side of her face, and I don't know how much of this John's been involved in, but he goes over and he puts his hand on that cancer. He says, in Creole, he said, cancer, come off in Jesus' name. And he went like this, and it fell off right in his hand. The power of God. He threw it on the ground and started stomping on it. I couldn't stop him for a week. He was running out praying for everybody. I mean, that guy, he praised God. What an anointing he has. You say, well, that's for missions. No, it's for Wallace. And it's not just today, it's every day. We got to get involved in this stuff. We got to believe that God is real. We got to understand that what God wants in the church, He wants right here in Wallace. This place should be full. And it's not going to be full unless you fill it up. Well, we got to buy advertising. Don't buy advertising. Fill the house. Bring people to church. You know people, bring them to church. Why are you letting them sit home and dying and going to hell? I mean, I don't understand that. Go get them. I used to send my Marines out when I pastored in Jacksonville. Go get them. I went to church full next Sunday. These poor guys would scare people to death. They said, you're going to me. I have to send a bus out to pick them up. Remember that blue bus we had? I had to send that out to Cherry Point to pick, not Cherry Point, but to Lejeune to pick up the Marines. We had to feed them and everything, but we got them there. Got them healed, saved, and blessed. There's no reason for an empty church anymore. Those days are over. Those days are over. I know uneducated pastors who barely can read the Bible, who've got churches so full right now they can barely move in the sanctuary because they let God be God and everybody's going to tell everybody about it. So the last point is, I think I should be wrapping this up. I don't know. If I've got the garment on, that I'm representing Jesus Christ wherever I go and whatever I do. Whether it's walking the trails in the bush in Africa or whether it's walking down the streets of Wallace. You're no different than I am. Put your garment on and make a difference. Are you with me? Make a difference where you are. Make a difference where you are. Now, what I'm going to do is pray. And we don't need a whole lot of stuff here going on. I'm going to pray. And if you need prayer and you're ready to be healed, I want you to come up and we'll pray for you and God will heal you and go home. You ready? Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, first of all, Lord, beyond everything there is, we ask you, Master, will you save the lost this morning? Will you save the lost this morning? Those that would say, you know, I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure. But I want to know because I want to live a life with God's blessings. I want to live a saved life. And I want a personal revival. I was walking with the Lord at one time, but I'm not now. I don't normally do this anymore, but every eye closed, please. I believe there's people here this morning that need to give their lives back to Christ. They need to come to the Master and say, Jesus, receive me. Receive me. If that's your heart, you want to give your life to Christ today and say, Lord, receive my life. Lift up your hand right now. Do it right now so we can move on to other things. Lift your hand and say, brother, that's me. I want to get my life right with God. I want to get my life right with God. Missy, I'm backslidden, brother. And I don't want anybody to know about this, but I'll throw my hand up and down real quick, let you know I'm coming home. I'm coming home today. If that's you, lift your hand up and put it back down real quick. Let me see. Anybody? Anybody? Praise the Lord. Okay. Yes. Father, there's a lot of people here I've prayed for before.